for today, I felt the Lord says, well, there's a very, 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 very important thing that we also need to be obedient to, what God says in His Word. And but before I get there, I just want to remind us of this, okay? Two very important, I didn't give the scriptures to Eno, but John 14 verse 15 says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments, okay? So I just want to again remind us, it's from a heart of loving God, okay? It's not this forceful, we are lorded or manipulated to do certain things. It's from a heart of a relationship and intimacy with Lord, with God. We obey Him. It's a picture of a beautiful relationship between a husband, like God, who's you know, a bride and a bridegroom, or even the father and a son or a daughter. There's a relationship. And because the son loves his father, he wants to be obedient. He wants to be obedient to his father, okay? Just a very important thing in speaking about obedience. And then the next one, God also says in 1 John 5 verse 3, he says, and my commandments are not burdensome. Okay, but because even when it's difficult to obey certain things, it's because we love God that it's like it's not burdensome. Does that make sense? It will challenge us. You will be convicted. It will take sacrifice often. But there's this beautiful thing that because we love God. So I'm not going to go into the details of that again, but it's something God has been, we've been sharing or going into that a lot. Okay, but today, I want to look into, so maybe I can like share the title for us this morning. I think that's what made me so excited. The Lord gave me this title. And you know, whenever we need to like go and run a race, and at the moment, I love athletics, and the World Championship Athletics is busy at the moment in Tokyo. And before they go, there's like a preparation for this moment to go. And then for us as kids, so they use a ready, set, go. But as kids, often we would say, 3, 2, 1, go. Okay, so that's the title for this morning. 3, 2, 1, go. And you'll see why it's very specific, 3, 2, 1, go. But I want to start with the scripture that we all know so well. So this is the commandment. When I shared, there's a very, very, very important commandment that we need to obey, a commandment that's there for all of us. It's in Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20. We all know this so well. All right, so then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, here's the commandment, the great commission. Therefore, go. 1, 2, 3, of 3, 2, 1, go. We'll get to that now. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And this beautiful last end in Matthew 28. And surely I am with you. I will be with you always to the very end of the age. How beautiful to have that promise that as God commissioned us, as He's called us, every single one of us, to go and make disciples. It's not just for the couple of people Jesus was speaking to there. You know, that scripture is for every single one of us. It's the Great Commission. And I think we've heard preachers so often on that. But my question still is, are we living a life? Are we living out the Great Commission? Is the Great Commission truly, honestly, something that's really burning on our hearts? Or is it only something we hear every now and then or think about every now and then? And I must say, I'll be the first to put up my hand to say very often, it's not something that has always burned on my heart. I get so focused and so consumed and caught up with church life, which is great. God has called me as an overseer, as an elder, to have the responsibility before the Lord with many things that God I'll have to give account before God one day. But it doesn't exclude me in any sense to have the Great Commission in my heart. Okay, so I trust that God will do something in our hearts this morning, that we will get so excited to share the good news of Jesus with others. So, 3, 2, 1, go. But before you go, let's just hear what's important to know. Acts 8, verse 1 to 5. Just want to get some background, and then we'll go into the 3-1 part. Acts 8, verse 1 to 5 says this. Okay, so this is just maybe context. So, very shortly after the first converts, the first three people, before Peter shared the gospel in Jerusalem, there were 3,000 people that the Bible says in Act 2, they were cut to the heart, they repented, they were baptized, the church started. Then quite soon after that, there were persecution, okay? So this Acts 8 is from the context of there was persecution that broke out very soon after church started. And Saul approved of their killing him. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered, listen to this, those who had been scattered from that persecution preached the word wherever they went. As they went, wherever they went, they preached the word of God. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. Okay, is that the last part of that? So it's so beautiful as we see there. It's from a place of persecution. They were scattered, and as they went, wherever they went, they were preaching the gospel. They couldn't help. They couldn't contain the message, the good news, the best news ever about Jesus to share that with people. It's like their hearts were burning with God saved me. He changed my life forever. And I couldn't keep it for myself to share that with other people, even in the midst of persecution. And I think today we, maybe I even want to say this. I wanted to say now, we actually have it so easy for us, opportunity. We are not being persecuted as in certain countries, but it's actually quite interesting. When we look at the countries where persecution is taking place, they are actually more obedient and more intentional to do that. So maybe often when things are getting difficult, it's not always a bad thing for us, eh? Sometimes we need difficulty to remind us again of what's truly important. Romans 10, verse 11 to 15 says this. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, so how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. So, do we have the shoes of willingness as part of the armor that we are as we go? Because the context is not, I think often we have this picture, and again I'll include myself, that you know we have to go on this outreach. We have to go to the specific country to share the good news. But the context is as they go, as they went, wherever they went, they were preaching the good news. And we can clearly see God says there, how can people believe if they have not heard? Okay, and for us, we can clearly see, as we go, wherever we go, are we seeking every opportunity we can find to preach the good news, the best news, the news that saved our lives? How grateful are we that Jesus has saved our lives? That's quite a, I think, important question we can ask us. Are we truly grateful? And I want to say this, if we are, surely that good news should burn on our heart to share that with other people. So maybe it also starts with going before the Lord again to say, Lord, remind me again what you saved me from. 2 Timothy 4 verse 5 says this. But you, okay, so maybe just context. Paul is speaking to Timothy and he's encouraging, we know about Timothy, young Timothy, very young, but he's been called by the Lord and he says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. I've called you. And Paul is encouraging on a very specific thing here. He says, but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. So even though he was called as an apostle to work apostolically within the field that God has placed him amongst the elders, God is reminding you, you're not a fivefold evangelist, but he doesn't exclude you as a fivefold apostle to still do the work of an evangelist. And there's a translation that says, for every single one of us have been called for the work of an evangelist. We don't have to get to this place of, I got a qualification, or I did a evangelist course, or a degree, or, you know, I'm recognized as a fivefold evangelist. We don't have to wait for that place. Every single one of us who has been saved, we are commissioned to share the good news about Jesus. Does that make sense? Can you see that in Scripture? That it's not just for some of us, that every single one of us, every single one of us have been called. So the 3-2-1. I trust you'll never forget this because of this 3-2-1. It's a beautiful picture that the Lord has just given me. So my question is, okay, we need to go. I think we all saw in the Bible, we need to go and share the good news with people. We need to see people get saved. We need to see them to repent, to be baptized, but also they need to, as we make converts, we're not only called to make converts, we are called to make disciples, okay? So to make a disciple, they need to be discipled. They need to be, you know, saved into a family of God that can teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. You know, that's part of the Great Commission. So do we have that in place in our lives? Okay, so the 3-2-1, the 3. Do you have your 3, your 2, and your 1? Okay, what is your 3? I love this saying. Mike Fast shared this with me a year or two ago when he was here in Bethlehem. He shared, okay, who is your Paul, your Timothy, or your Paul, your Barnabas, and your Timothy? Okay, some of you have heard this. Do you have a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy in your life? And what do I mean with that? Your Paul means, do you have someone in your life, a leader, that you are submitted under to, okay, that you can submit and obey? Maybe you can put up Hebrews 13 verse 7 that says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God, you remember them. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Maybe you can also put up 2 Timothy 2 verse 1 to 2 that says, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses. Entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. It's speaking about they've been qualified through the biblical qualifications to be overseers, to take care of God's flock. And then Acts 20 verse 28 also just emphasized this. He's speaking to the leaders here, Paul. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So you see, it's not self-appointed. I choose to be, I think I want to be a leader. It's the Holy Spirit. It's something that has been recognized over your life by others. And through the Holy Spirit, people have been set in place. But it says they're trustworthy overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. But the scripture said God puts trustworthy men in place that can be faithful and trustworthy. But in that context, so it's not just like following any leader. It's not like I've got this online guy who's my leader. That's not what the Bible speaks about. To submit and to obey means there's someone in your life. Do you have a Paul in your life? that you can mention by name, who can actually like, who's, where there's relationship. Do you have a leader in your life? Or, and I'm not saying like, maybe for me, yes, I'm in the church on Sundays and I know you. There's, it's actually deeper than that. It's actually like, no, I will actually submit my life under you. And especially God says in his word, very specifically, he says, doctrine, direction, discipline, the elders have been called to direct those, the affairs of the church, those things. So it's whenever there's things of your life in that way, will you consider by being obedient to God to say, I want to make you part of this journey. And it's not for the elders to lordship anything over your life. They, let me just say this. As a shepherd, I'm not a policeman. I don't want to be a policeman. And I don't want to be a shepherd with a stick behind the sheep telling them where to go. I don't want to do that. What I'm called to do is I'm like, I just want to posture myself to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. I want to be obedient where the Bible says, first take care of yourself. I want to look to my own life self to say, I need to make sure I'm not running this race in vain. Am I living out what I'm preaching? Or am I being a hypocrite? Am I living the life to say, God, I am submissive? I don't want to do anything that when I teach, it's like, I want to make sure I'm living in the light. But in that way, I'm like, I want to point people to the one, to Jesus. And then the sheep need to choose. You choose yourself. Will you follow? As we are focused on Jesus, the great shepherd. Does that make sense? But there is a posture. Maybe there's a decision you need to make. You're like, no, God says I'm going to do this. And then, you know, you come to me and say, God says I should do this. You know, it's basically putting my hands in a cuff. So, okay, cool. I'm like, wow, if God said that, I'm behind you and I back you, but it will be helpful when you consider to say, will you pray with me? And you know what? I will really pray with you. I will genuinely, if I don't have time, I will say, I honestly don't have time. Who's other leaders that we can get? Because there's wisdom in a council of many. There should be a witness in the spirit. Because the Bible also says there's nothing more deceitful than your own heart. And I've experienced this in my life countless times. God said, you know, but actually, no, my own desires and my own flesh crept in. And I thought I heard God, but it wasn't actually God. It was my own desires. And I'm not saying it will always happen. But there's a humility, there's a safety to make a pull part of your life. Does that make sense? So do you have a pull in your life at the moment? And it's the same for me. I live fully open. Every Sunday or Monday, I share a full, massive, typed out message on a group with elders, Leonard in Bloom. Oh yeah, there's people that have known my life, that I've walked with. Every single week, I share every detail that I can with them in my life. About my marriage, about how is it going with church, how is it going with me, and I'm like, speaking to my life. And you know what? The fruit in that has just been so beautiful. Okay, so do you have people, do you have a Paul in your life? Two, okay, Barnabas. Do you have a Barnabas in your life? So what's a Barnabas? Okay, but I want to say two, because do you have at least two people alongside you that you are walking with? Do you have friends, brothers and sisters in Christ? Okay, do you have a Paul, a Barnabas and a Timothy? Who's your Barnabas? But it's like two people. You need at least two people to get alongside you that you are doing life with. Two friends, brothers in Christ, that whenever you are walking with God, you can know there's people alongside you to back you, to support you, to encourage you, to be there for you, to pray for you. Because if you go through something difficult, are you living so closely with people in your life that even you don't have to tell them, that they can see you are struggling? I will pray for you. I saw it's not going well. Are you living closely with people alongside you? Do you have that brothers or sisters in Christ? If you don't, I want to encourage you. You are missing out. You will make your walk with God so much better, more effective, and even easier to make sure we don't have to do this alone. But it's people that will truly love you in the way God loves you. Not perfectly, okay? I'm not saying they will be perfect. But I also want to ask this question. Are you that person for someone else? Not only do you have that for yourself, are you that person for other people? Are you posturing yourself in a place to make sure maybe there's someone here that's really struggling to make friends? Often in church, there's people that's just, they don't have this charismatic social skills. Their heart is like, oh, honestly, you cannot believe how many people that I've had coffees with that said, I struggle with friendships. I struggle to make friends. My desire is there. Are we making it easy for them? Are we posturing ourselves to say, I will come alongside you because I want to see you walk in the fullness of God. I want to pray for you. I want to support you. I want to encourage you. Are you that friend? Are you a Barnabas for other people? We need to be. We need to get alongside people to say, I will pray for you. You don't have to go through this alone. I will be the friend that Jesus has been for me. Man, we need to be good friends for one another. I'm getting emotional in this. We need to keep other people's hands up, you know, because often I hear it's really going difficult with many people. If we can sit here and we have time to truly share what we're facing through, you will be in tears and shocked to hear what some people are going through. And sometimes we're in a place where we can support, and we need to do that. Let's not be selfish. God says love means I will consider others more important than myself. Are we doing that? Proverbs 27 verse 6 says this. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Okay, so I do also just want to mention this. Sometimes to be a Barnabas means you have to speak the truth in love. And a short testimony on that. A couple of years ago in 2019, as I became part of Josh Gen there was a young Timothy that I actually were falling under. Kurtzen, many of you know him, he's such an amazing person. He was very young. I just joined the church and I was in his community. And anyway, he started working for me. I used to own a gym, so he became one of my personal trainers. And then the one day he came to me, he's like, hey, Footy. He called me Footy. He's like, I just want to say, you know, whenever you are doing personal training with your clients, I just want to encourage you not to use bad language, bad words. And I was like, it felt like a wound, to be honest. I was like a bit offended for at least maybe a day. I was offended, like, I'm not swearing, I'm not using bad language. I'm like, why are you to tell me I shouldn't do that? Honestly, that's how I felt. I didn't say it. But I felt in my heart like, oh, what do you know? You know, it's honestly, my flesh was like, but for a day I was wrestling with this thing. You know, but my response was, hey, thanks, Quirty, appreciate, thank you for encouraging me. But in my heart, I wasn't feeling like that, okay? And then the next day, I was doing personal training with two of the high school kids. And suddenly I said a word that I shouldn't have said. And then I was like, oh, shucks, did I just say that? And I was unaware that I was, you know, saying bad words. Honestly, I was blind. It was a blind spot in my life. But the fact that Kurtzen lived that out, that it felt like a wound, but he was a true friend because he loved me and cared about me. He was willing. And you can imagine, even for you doing that, it's not pleasant. It's not easy. It's not easy for me to go, hey, Stian, I see something in your life that's not reflecting the life of Jesus, his character. You're not loving like him. You need to do this better. It's not easy to do that, and it's also not easy to receive. But when we can settle it in our hearts, that's true friendship. That's when we really love one another, to even encourage one another on the things or the areas in our lives where we are not yet like Jesus. So are you doing that, and are you allowing people to speak into your life? Okay, the two. That was the two, and then the one. So, do you have a Timothy in your life? Okay, so do you have a Paul, a leader? Do you have Barnabas? Okay, two people alongside you, and do you have a Timothy? Someone that you are discipling. So, I'm going to use this one on two categories. The one is maybe, firstly, do you have one person at least currently in your life that you are building into, that you are discipling? We are called to be disciples, okay? As we need to be discipled, like a Paul discipling us, But do you have someone that you are discipling? You don't have to be a leader to do that. It's for all of us. Okay? Every single one of us need to disciple someone. Do you have someone that's saved newly and youngly? Like, I don't know if that's good English, but in Bethlehem and Afrikaans culture, that's good. It's good enough. So, do you have someone in your life? And if you don't, ask the Lord, who's that person? And if you've got this expectation, you need to have this perfect way of discipling people. That's not the truth. Just by reaching out to someone, sending them a WhatsApp, having a coffee with someone, asking them, how's it going in your life? And listening well. You know how difficult sometimes it's for us to listen well. And then from that place, just trust the Lord to encourage them or just pray for them. That's even if you can just do that, you can make disciples, okay? We can get into the nuts and bolts and the details of effective discipling, and we'll get there. But I do want to say this. If you can at least start with someone that you can invite for a coffee, because the fact that you will be interested in them and listen to them, you will make them feel loved. And I cannot emphasize the importance for us to posture ourselves for other people to feel loved. Does that make sense? And then the second one. Do you have one person in your life at the moment that does not know Jesus, that's not saved, that you are reaching out to, that you are building a bridge with, that you are forming a relationship with, that you are reaching out to, for them to meet Jesus? Can you write that down on a paper? Okay? When I had to evaluate my own heart this morning, I was like, no, I cannot. To be honest, I'm like, shucks, Lord. I need to change this. I've had that many times in my life, but this morning I was like, I don't. So I even need to like repent and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I get so caught up with a lot of things, but we need to have the Great Commission on our hearts. To have at least one person that we are praying for and that we can build a relationship with and reach out to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus to. And trust that the Lord will save them. And I want to ask this question. How much worth is a soul? How much worth is a single soul? Matthew 18 verse 12 to 14 says this. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, one of them, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. How important is a single person to get saved for Jesus? Before we came to plant the church, they told us, listen, Futa, if you guys plant this church and your whole journey, as long as you are here, if there's one person that gets saved, we will consider it as a massive success. Because how much worth is a single soul through the eyes of Jesus? If one person gets saved. Luke 15 verse 7 says this. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Can you see, as we look into God's word, His heart is for a single person to get saved? There's a rejoice in heaven. Yes, I trust for us that our hearts will be the same, that our hearts will burn with a desire to say, Lord, we cannot go through this life being so consumed about ourselves and our own things and our own comfort that we will not live a life where we can look, where we can reach out to people that doesn't know Jesus. And even if you have to think about your friends and your family, is there family members in your life that if Jesus has to come back today, or if something needs to happen, can we have in our hearts assurance that they will hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, before God? If not, I trust that we will start praying more, that we will reach out more, that we'll ask God to lead us and guide us in wisdom to share the love of Jesus with them. Does that make sense? Our hearts need to burn for people that doesn't know Jesus to be saved. And then how do I do this? So, like I said, we can get into the nuts and bolts, but I just want to share a testimony and the last scripture, and then we're going to go into a response time. So, the testimony, and many of you know this, what I'm going to share now, but I just want to emphasize something or highlight something. And there's a couple of people, unfortunately, that cannot be here this morning. That's part of the testimony that I was connecting with in the week that was supposed to be part of even what I'm going to share now. But I just want to like use maybe two examples. So some of us sitting here this morning, or even Toby and Claudia that cannot be here today, that most of you have met and known, like recently they got saved. Jesus saved their life. Fully, like, beautiful, surrendered their life to God. They're walking with us. It's incredible. For those of you who joined the combined community on Wednesday, it was incredible just to hear. But the picture I want to just, like, almost highlight in that, and it's the same scripture what Stian shared this morning, that we are a body with different members. We are a team. Okay? So for Toby, he got saved recently at the Sunday after Soul Care. But if you listen to the story, it was this beautiful story about many members, many people that was sowing seed a bit here, sowing seed a bit here, sowing seed a bit here. And everything led up to that moment where Jesus saved him. It wasn't only one person that, and it can happen, if you can go for it, go for it. But I think often we feel like we have to get to the specific place or we feel overwhelmed. But another encouragement is to just like, can we just every single day be faithful to do what God has called us to do? Because we have no idea how He is faithful and how God's heart is to save people. Like the last while, I'm honestly blown away when I was hearing all the testimonies about the salvations. Recently, we've had quite a lot of people getting saved and a lot of people recommitting their lives back to Jesus. When I hear these stories, like share to me what happened. I'm like, if I wasn't convinced ever, I'm now convinced more than ever that God's heart is to save people, okay? His heart didn't change. The day Jesus gave himself and he died on the cross, his heart did not change after that, okay? Imagine his heart to say, I will go through everything. I will lay down everything. I will go through the humiliation, the pain, the suffering. I will humble myself to die this death that was, you know, the one person perfect in everything that didn't deserve it. He said, I will go through that because his heart was to save us so that we can know him and walk with him, have a relationship with him. His heart did not change. His heart's still the same today. Okay, can we just realize that? Okay, and just in listening to that, and there's this, I can't go into the details, but it's like me and Estevan, just because we shared our status, Claudia saw the status, and then it's actually such a long story in the details, and then she ended up one day to have a coffee with us, and because she had a coffee with us, she told his brother Toby about, you know, this coffee she had, and she's like, and he was like, oh, I know this Estevan guy. We were enemies 6 years ago. We hated one another. And he saw Estevan like a way back. And he's like, he literally said there was a job card to go and fix something where he was working. And he's like, I want this job card because I want to go to have a fight with him. He admitted, he's like, I can't do this work in this department, but I'm going to take this job card to make sure I can go and, you know, have an argument with him. And then what happened? He got there and Estevan was a different person than 6 years ago. And he was like, what happened to you? Toby's words was, clearly you know something that I don't know. And through that, he was like, okay, I'll come to the Soul Care thing. And then he got there and he was overwhelmed with love. Then he was put in a group with a random guy from BCC church, a guy in another church, it doesn't matter. Also a guy that loves Jesus. And in that guy was sowing seed into him, encouraging him. Beautiful. And then there was a response. And he gave his life to Jesus. There's much more detail in the story, actually. This is just like a quick recap. But there's a picture of a body working together. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it beautiful that we are together? We are better. We are better together. I wish I could share more on that, but I did tell him we'll share his whole story. Even if I'm looking there at Yvonne and Portia this morning, honestly, you guys are such a blessing to have part of this church. And it became with Sandile, a lady that's not here even this morning, where she invited people, Bongani, that's on kids' church today. Through Bongani, there were people coming. It's like this whole, if you trace it back to where it started, it was one person that started to invite, and then they met Jesus here. Isn't that beautiful? Now they are a blessing to us. Beauty, Yvonne, Portia, it's like you've become part of this family. And when you are not here, it feels like there's a part of the body that's missing. And it was all because, you know, through Jesus, you guys got saved and it's like all recommitted. But it's because of someone was faithful to invite one person. Isn't that amazing? Thank you, Lord. So Acts 2 verse 42 to 47. I'm going to land with this. Just this picture again. So we know this so well. Again, it's the picture of church started, Peter shared the gospel. But let's just look at this again. They devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Isn't that a beautiful picture? As the church were doing life together, as they were truly a family, they were meeting in their homes, they were breaking bread, they were devoted to the fellowship, there were relationships. They, like Arda shared, like they felt what they had, it didn't belong to them, it's God's. Everything we have, it belongs to God. There's this whole picture. We can go into the details for hours, how it can look like. But the fact of the matter is, it's like because they first devoted themselves to God, and from that place, they devoted themselves to live a life, to say, Lord, we are giving our lives for this common purpose, to see people get saved, and daily. And it was so beautiful. In one of our elders' meetings, they were just looking at the salvations, and we just like were grateful to see from all 50-plus congregations in Josh Gen. They were looking at salvations and recommitments and what God is doing, and new members that's being prayed in, like becoming members part of the church. And they said, guys, do you realize that this is a reality for us? That every single day in Josh Gen, there's people that are getting saved and being added to the church every single day. That scripture, it's a reality. It's not just a picture. Okay? But I want to say that because wherever, and I'm not just saying in Josh Gen, in any church, wherever someone gets saved, we need to celebrate. We need to be grateful. I'm just using this example because this is where God has placed us in the vehicle. It's not about the vehicle. We are just a vehicle to share the good news. It's not about us. It's not about the vehicle. It's about people that need to get saved into a family where they can meet Jesus, where they can live a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. We are just the hands and feet. It's not about the hands and feet. It's about the head. Where God gives this picture of our body. The glory goes to Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about the head. But as members, as a family, as hands and feet, as the vehicle, how beautiful to see that God wants to add. Because together, when we belong, we will be more effective than if we do it just like, I want to do it on my own. Can you see that? We need to work together so that we can see daily people to get saved. There's so many people that don't know Jesus. And I trust this morning that our hearts will burn for that.